Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
I am excited today. We have a guest speaker, Brad Herdick. Sometimes God just puts people in your life, and you just feel so blessed to know them. Brad Herdick is a godly man. He has taken a tragedy, and he has used it to glorify God. We spent about 5 years together, and he just loves God with his whole heart. He's a man of integrity and character. And then we prayed for a wife, and God gave him beautiful Brittany, and it was just wonderful to watch that story unfold. So anyway, let's have a Heritage warm welcome for our friend Brad Herdick.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, church, and thank you, Tanya. That was very kind. Appreciate that. It is a privilege to be here and to be able to share my story and talk a little bit about the ministry I'm a part of and how I'm able to take the gospel to students in public schools. And as Tanya mentioned, my wife, she went in the back. She's already in the back. Okay. She has joined. Yes, she's here with us. She's actually from Minnesota. So I got to meet her speaking at her church about 3 years ago and brought her to Ohio. So privileged to have her as a Buckeye. Yeah, O-H-I-O, yes, that's right. you know, this morning, I want to talk about how I think God is writing a unique story in each of our lives with his grace, and I believe he's writing a unique story in each of our lives with that grace, and I want to give testimony to that by sharing my story, and I'll start with a question. The question is this: what if, in the blink of an eye, you were to lose both of your hands? How would you respond? Or how different would your life be? Well, that became my unfortunate reality after just finishing my sophomore year of high school. So I grew up with a mom and dad, three older brothers. We were always very active as a family. Sports was a big part of my life. Played football, basketball, and baseball, and even as a sophomore, as the starting middle linebacker on our varsity football team, and end up breaking our school record for tackles in a single season. And so just overall, I was very hands-on and very active like that, but most all of that changed for me in just a single night. So after just finishing my sophomore year of high school, we were a couple of days into our summer break, and my family and I were over helping my older brother clear this brush or these shrubs around his house. While we were doing that, a good friend of mine named Keenan called. So his dad owned this factory in town, and he was just calling to see if Chris and I would be interested in working that night. And, you know, we're kind of excited about that, you know, be helping out a friend and, of course, earning some extra money. And at the same time, we hesitated because in order to work that night, third shift, we were going to have to be awake for 24 straight hours and then work an 8-hour shift at the end of that. And that was a lot to ask, so we weren't quite sure if we could do that, had enough energy, but we thought, hey, you know, we're young, we're healthy, let's do it. And so we said yes. We got home from my brothers, we changed our clothes. Instead of going to bed that night, we drove to the factory. Got there about 9 o'clock at night, and we found out we would be operating a 500-ton power press. Does anyone in here know what I'm talking about when I say a 500-ton power press? Anyone? A couple of you do? Yeah? All right. So if you're not familiar, don't feel bad. Myself at the time, I had no idea what that was. It certainly sounded cool. Basically, it's this huge machine used to bend, form, and put holes in a piece of sheet metal to make car parts. And it takes a lot of force and a lot of power to do that. I know the picture's on up there. That doesn't really do it justice because that machine is massive. We walked in that night. I remember actually pulling up to the factory, sitting in our cars, first off, and feeling the vibrations of when the press would come down and stamp the metal inside. And then thinking to myself, like, what is this thing? And we walked in, we got introduced to this massive machine. Like I said, it's like 25 feet tall. They even cut out the cement within the factory and put it in the ground another 5 or 6 feet deep. Now, what we had to do, myself, my twin Chris, and my good friend Keenan, was actually really simple. We just had to move these pieces of sheet metal about the size of a piece of paper from one station of this press to the next station. There were 4 different stations within this press. And so we developed a method where the 3 of us would step up to this press, move the piece of metal down one station, step back away, and my friend Keenan then had to turn his back to the press so he could reach over to push the buttons. And that, of course, would activate the press. It would come down, it would stamp the metal, go right back up again. So that was working well throughout the night, and we didn't really have any issues until about halfway through. So this was about 2 o'clock in the morning. We moved the piece of metal, we stepped back, and I noticed one of the pieces wasn't quite lined up right. It was crooked. And of course, I knew that if the press would run, it was going to ruin that part. And so I instinctively reached back in to adjust it, not knowing that my friend had turned his back to push the buttons. And so as I'm reaching in, this 500-ton power press that you can feel running while standing in the parking lot comes down while both of my hands are inside. The first thing that I remember was not the physical pain or really even a physical sensation. The first thing that I remember was hearing someone else screaming at what they saw when they looked at me. I had this sense of like panic come up within me, knowing this is not good. Like, how did that happen? I need help. And so I quickly left the press, actually went over towards my boss. Before I got to him, I thought, I need to see how bad this is. And when I looked down, it wasn't good. In fact, it's a lot easier to simply show you as it is to try to explain. So if you don't mind, this is basically what I saw when I first looked to my left side. Now, I say basically because part of my hand was actually still attached, and the doctors were trying to save what remained. They just were not able to. I remember thinking to myself, okay, that's really bad, and I hope my right side is a little bit better. I look over to the right, and it was worse. Half of my arm was just missing. I remember looking at this and just thinking, I do not need to see that again. And my boss gets to me. He's in just complete shock at what he's looking at. He just kind of grabs me by the shoulders and he leads me off to his vehicle. It wasn't a very long drive, but there was enough time for me to start to think. And I start to think about my life, how different it was going to be, how I was never going to play sports again. For me at the time, that was a really big deal. And I just started hysterically saying that out loud. I'm never going to play sports again. I'm never going to play sports again. I mean, here I was, a 3-sport athlete, record-setting linebacker, but now I didn't have hands. And I so desperately wanted to go back in time, you know, just a couple of minutes and change what just happened, but I couldn't. And I don't know if you've ever done something or even said something where you instantly regret it, and yet no matter how bad you feel, you can't go back and change it. I ended up getting to that first hospital. I didn't stay there very long. I was in bad enough shape. The doctors bandaged my arms up. They put me in a helicopter and then life-flighted me to a larger hospital. And it was there that I had stayed for 11 days, going through multiple surgeries. And that was a tough time because I was waking up to this reality and knowing this is never going to go away. And I now had to ask for help in many ways, and I never thought I would have to as a young man. I couldn't brush my teeth, I couldn't eat, I couldn't shower by myself. It was a very humiliating and humbling experience. And then I came home to start a new life without hands. Now, if you would think about that for just a moment, like how often do you use your hands? Right? Like all the time for everything? And we don't often think about it, we just do life. For me, when the accident happened, I knew who to turn to. Because I grew up in the church, I accepted Christ at a younger age, and for me, I had seen how God was showing up in some really special and some unique ways, ways that his grace was just blowing my mind, and ways that I would love to encourage you in your own walk, in your own journey, in your own story. You know, when I think about God's grace, I don't know what comes to mind for you, but there's a couple of things. One, I think about God's favor towards us and the way that he cares for us, the way he provides for us. I love GRACE as an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. So the worst about us placed upon Christ and the best about Christ placed upon us, the great exchange of the cross. But then when the accident happened, there's another element of his grace that really seemed to show up in ways that I'd learned about God in a new way. Grace is a sort of strength for us. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and there it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, as we kind of look at that verse, I think it's pretty clear God has exactly what we need, and that is sufficient grace. And so as I reflect on my own story, there's two specific areas that I want to encourage you to consider how God is writing that unique story in your life. One of those is through the opportunities that he's providing. It might be an opportunity to do something difficult that you don't feel like you can do or even want to do, but God is nudging you. He's pulling your heartstrings. He wants to give you the grace and the means to carry that out. For me, one of those things was getting to play football again. I thought, for sure, I'd be like, that's a closed door. I will never play that game again. In fact, I had prayed about that, and I said, God, take the desire away, because I knew that it was never going to happen, at least I thought. But nonetheless, God seemed to have different plans. My football coach invited me out to join the team again, and I was in no condition, but I made it out to actually practice one day just to watch. I'd lost 25 pounds. I was really weak. Medication was making me really sick, and as I was out there, I got thirsty. So this is the end of July. It was really hot, muggy, Northwest Ohio. Humidity's off the charts. And I would walk up to our trainers, and I would just ask them for a drink of water because I wasn't able to pick a water bottle up for myself. And they did that. We had a great system worked out. So end of practice, I'm thirsty again. And I noticed this water bottle actually sitting at my football coach's feet. I pointed the water bottle out to my coach, thinking he was going to pick it up, just like the trainers had been doing for me the entire practice. Well, instead, my coach, he looks at the water bottle, looks up at me, looks down at the water bottle, and then he thinks for a moment. And then he says something that would ultimately change my life. He said, if you're thirsty enough, you will find a way. I was shocked at first. I was like, what? Like, coach, I don't have hands. Like, you have hands. Why don't you pick up the water bottle? Jerk. Just keeping it real. Now, I didn't have that courage to say all of that out loud to him. I was smart enough not to. I wanted to play. But my coach wasn't being a jerk. You know, he was actually trying to pull something out of me that I didn't see at the time. And as I kind of stepped back from the moment and realized what he was doing, I said to my coach, I said, wait a second. Yeah, I can do this. And so I dropped down to my knees. I picked the water bottle up. I pulled the cap and squeezed. Ah, like water never tasted so good. So I pushed the cap closed. I tossed the water bottle back down to his feet with a big grin on my face, like, yeah, what's up now, coach? For me, that experience was a paradigm shift, because I had realized that if I can do this one thing, there are certainly other things I can do that I'm not trying, or certainly not giving my best effort towards. And so it began. Every day, I challenged myself to find a way. And I kept showing up to practice. And my coach eventually said, Brad, you know, why don't you consider kicking? You know, the goal was to actually come back and be the middle linebacker again. Didn't know if that would actually happen, but we're going to take it one step at a time. But he's like, start out place kicking. So this is a guy that comes out, kicks the extra point after a touchdown. And I was pretty athletic, so I thought, yeah, this is the safest position on the football field to be, so let's do it. Makes sense. And so I start working on this, and I actually got decent enough to kick in a game. And I run out in this field, and it's, you know, small town Ohio, Northwest Ohio. No one else has anything else to do on a Friday night, so they show up for a football game, right? And they all knew my story. So as soon as I step out in this field, standing ovation, they're going crazy. They're super excited. And all the guys get the line of scrimmage. I'm starting to feel a little nervous as I'm slowly taking my steps backwards, two back, one to the left. And as I get into position, this silence falls over the stadium. All right, talk about pressure, right? So I give a nod for the ball to be snapped. It's a good hold. I kick the ball, and I missed it. A couple of yards short, and you audibly could hear the response of this crowd. It was this gasp, like this, oh! As I disappoint hundreds of people, it was awful. I mean, just heart-wrenching and embarrassing. And so I jog off, and I'm just thinking to myself, okay, I've got to just stick with this and work a little bit harder at it. And so that's what I did. Next week, every day of that practice, for 2 hours, all I would do is kick these extra points. I got a second opportunity the next game. I run back out in the field, a standing ovation from our fans. Guys get the line of scrimmage. I'm taking my steps. I give the nod. It's a good snap. I kick the ball, and I missed it again. Wide left. No! And of course, the crowd like responds with this pity clap. You know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah, it's okay. Like, you try. I was like, yeah, thanks. That really makes me feel better. So I, you know, go back to practice. All I know I can do. And 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, I got a third opportunity. And this time, as I jog out in the field, I'm feeling confident. The fans are on their feet. All the guys get the line of scrimmage. I take my steps. I give the nod. It's a good snap. I kick the ball. And this time, I miss it again. Ridiculous. I mean, unbelievable, actually, because I'm now 0 for 3 and just more confused and disappointed than ever. And actually, I started to feel defeated, you know, because I had worked so hard for this one goal, like literally kick after kick, day after day, week after week. And what did I have to show for it? Nothing. And it felt like, God, like, where are you? You know, you opened this door up just to close it again and not enable me to do this. And I don't know if you've ever experienced a situation like that where, you know, you feel like God is leading you a certain way and it's just not working out. Maybe it's not your time yet. Maybe he's working something else into your life that he wants you to learn about him in a new way or learn about yourself in a new way. Continue to have the faith. Continue to take it one step at a time that he's asking you to do. Be obedient in that and trust him. All I knew to do is keep going back to practice. I did that 2 hours a day, and then I got a fourth opportunity. As I run back out, and I don't know why the coach was giving me all these opportunities, but he did. Run back out in the field. The fans this time, they were like not on their feet. You know, it was like this, are we supposed to keep clapping for him at this point? You know, this awkward vibe. And everyone out there, all the guys get the line of scrimmage. I'm taking my steps, and I give the nod. It's a good snap. I kick the ball, and I make it. Yes! Praise God, finally, right? And so I run off. I give my coach a big hug. My coach says to me, he says, you are done kicking. And yeah, you're moving on to the next goal. I think that was a relief for both of us, yeah, being 1 for 4. But yeah, it was good, though. The whole process, we end up enabled to take it one step at a time, was able basically to come back, rejoin the team as the middle linebacker my senior year and end up leading my team again with 111 tackles and even earning first team All-Ohio as a middle linebacker again. It ended up being a great opportunity, and it was really neat to see how God had opened up these doors again that I thought for sure was a closed door. And I would just flip this to you and ask you, in what ways is God working in your life and giving you these opportunities to do something difficult that I don't think you can do, but he wants to give you the grace, the means to do that difficult thing? Maybe it's to lead a Sunday school group. Maybe it's an opportunity to share your faith, or even sharing an encouraging word to a coworker. You know, oftentimes, especially in this world today, that so many people are suffering. And mine's, you know, it's pretty obvious, my condition, but oftentimes it's the internal scars that we have that we don't see. We don't know what other people are experiencing. So maybe God is nudging you just to speak up and share an encouraging word. So what opportunities is he providing you? A second way that I've seen his grace in my life would be through his provision. The way God provides for us and oftentimes meets our needs before we even ask or make them known to him. And hopefully as believers, we all have that track record of experiences. There's different ways that God would provide, and one of those, I feel very blessed to having prosthetic hands. In fact, I get a lot of questions about them, so I want to put them back on, and I want to show you how they work, and also have you guys demonstrate exactly how they work. So let me slip them back on. What I'm using here is hand sanitizer. It works really well. It enables me to get my arm super slippery to push in nice and easy, and it also evaporates pretty quickly so that my arm doesn't just want to fall off all the time. It's pretty helpful. And these have internal batteries, so I do have to charge them up every night, plug them in the wall, unplug them in the morning, go about my day. For the most part, a full charge will last all day, but sometimes it doesn't. And if I'm doing a lot of physical work or do a lot of speaking events or something, I'm using my hands a lot, it'll actually run the batteries down. I actually go stand along the wall and plug my arm into the wall for a couple of minutes. It's pretty comical. So this is how it works. So if it would, I actually have you hold up one of your arms in front of you. You could hold up left arm just in front of you, just like this, and bend your hand at your wrist. Bend your hand down. Very good. And bend your hand back up. Perfect. Down and back up. You guys got it. So those wrist muscles in your arm are the same muscles that I'm actually using to make my prosthetic work. So as I bend what would be my hand down, the prosthetic closes. As I bend up, the prosthetic opens. So back and forth, back and forth. There are sensors built into the prosthetic. Sensor on the top, sensor on the bottom. And it's just reading the electrical impulse of the arm. And so it's true for both arms. This is a higher sight. I'm grateful to have them. You know, I do, like I said, I feel like God does provide for us in ways like that. But even above and beyond the material things that he can provide are the immaterial things that are so precious. The hope that enables us to see beyond our circumstances. The peace that surpasses understanding. You know, the Bible talks about that peace. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that peace. I have. And there's a really special time that God ministered to me. This moment that I was actually laying on the couch at home alone, and my mom actually, she was in the kitchen like doing the dishes or something, and my twin Chris was at football practice where I wanted to be, where I should have been, but instead I was just laying there. And I typically wouldn't allow myself to think about what I was missing out on in my life. I just had this mindset of just keep pressing on, keep moving forward, I'll be fine. But I felt like I needed to allow this to kind of well up in my heart, and I allowed myself to think about all that I was missing out on and all that I was going to miss out on in my life. And I had these bigger questions, like, would I ever get married? Who would ever want to marry me? Would I ever be able to live on my own, provide, work again? And as I was taking this, I just basically took it to the Lord. This deep sadness, these racing thoughts, the sense of panic, to the point of the overflow where I just cried out to God asking him, why? Like, why did you let this happen? What am I supposed to do with my life now? Have you ever asked God similar questions in your life where you're confused at what he's doing or maybe what he's not doing in your life? Maybe you're angry at God. Now, either way, there's something I think God would want you to know and me to know. And that is that God loves you, that he loves me, and that his love and his grace is able to get us through anything. You know, in that moment, as I was just praying and just crying out to God, I really felt this calmness come over me. I felt this peace. And it was almost as if Jesus was saying, Brad, I see you. I've got you. I am with you. God brought peace in the midst of this tragedy. And God is one who makes peace. And not only does he want to give us an inner peace when tragedies like mine happen to us, but in an even bigger, and I would say more important way, God wants to make peace with us. And he does that through Jesus. That Jesus came to this earth as God in human form, and he lived this perfect, sinless life for you and for me that we could never live out. Beyond that, he died for you and for me. When Jesus died on the cross, what he was doing was paying the price for our rebellion against God. It's an incredible act of love. And it shows us just how far God is willing to go for you and for me. And what gives me hope every day is what Jesus was killed. 3 days later, he comes back to life, demonstrating that he is God. And he has the power, the ability to give us a new life, eternal life, bring us into right relationship with God. So church, I don't know how you've come in this morning. You might be in a season of jubilation, of celebration. Your rhythms and the relationships are working smoothly. You also might be in a place of hurting, of pain, of sorrow, of loss. Wherever you fall in that spectrum, God is crying out to you, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. That he wants to work through us, that his grace is there for us. You know, there's so many ways that I think God can show up for us, and I hope that you've been encouraged to consider in your own story how God is working through the opportunities that he's providing you, and certainly through the way he provides for us in his grace, that he meets the needs oftentimes before we even recognize them and make them known to him. Church, I would love to close in prayer, and one of the ways I live this ministry out, or this grace out in my own life, is through the ministry of Stanford Truth. And I'll share a little bit about that. But if you would, just pray with me. Lord God, you are so good. And we really depend on you. We need your grace. We pray, Lord, that your grace would be fresh and new in our lives, in this church. God, that we would see you in new ways. And that you would show up. God, we can't do this life without you. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to walk with us, guide us, give us wisdom and direction every step of the way. Whether we're here in a place where things are so good, or in a place where we're hurting. God, we know that life is almost like a thread where we're walking on it. It breaks. It hurts. But there you are. That you want to be the lifter of our heads. God, we love you for your grace. We love the way you love us and care for us and provide for us. It is in Jesus' name that I pray these things. Amen. So as I mentioned, one of the ways I get to kind of live this grace out and to share and to minister other people is through Stanford Truth. I often get questions about what it is that I do in full-time ministry. So what I did is put together 5 frequently asked questions about the ministry. So I just briefly want to run through those, and then we'll transition and close with a final song. One of the first questions that people often ask me is, what is your mission field? So simply put, our mission field are public high schools, not just in Northwest Ohio, but all across the United States, middle schools and high schools. What is the vision of your ministry? So our vision is to reach unchurched students in public schools with the gospel. Now, you hear that and you think, okay, public schools, gospel come together, year 2022, how is that even possible? We follow a very simple 2-step strategy that we've been doing well over a decade now. The first step of that strategy is I get invited into the school as a public speaker. During the day, I can't share the gospel because it is school sponsored. However, I travel, which is second step, with a musical artist, and we actually hold a concert at the school that night. And it's there that I'm able to share the gospel, share the truth, and how students can turn to him and trust Jesus. We then also follow up with students that come to the concert in different ways. We hand out Bibles. We also connect with local churches, churches just like this in that community. And we invite them to that concert as well, where we can plug the students into that local church where they can further grow in their relationship with Jesus. Among Bibles and things like that, we also hand out copies of my book. I put a gospel insert in this as well and hand that out to the students so they can be reminded of all that they learned that day. So that's kind of the big picture strategy. The third question here is going to lead right into this. Is the ministry making an impact on students? And I would absolutely say yes. There's numerous stories that I could share with you. There's a story that, we use social media as well. Students will respond and write to us. This is a note that I received from a girl named Andy. She says, "That was the best concert ever. I really liked what you said, Brad. Can you help me pray to God and ask him into my heart? How do I commit my life to him?" And it's so precious to see how God is using the ministry to reach students at their school. And their life changed not just immediately, but for eternity. So yeah, God is absolutely working. The fourth question is, or how is the ministry funded? In a sense, like how can you afford traveling over, sharing the gospel with students in public schools? So we are like most missionaries, in which it's our responsibility to seek out a team of people who not only believe in the ministry or the vision of the ministry, but who want to partner with us financially. It really is that financial support team that enables us to do what we do, traveling all over the country, sharing the gospel with students. And then the last question that is often asked, how can we help? And I'm so glad you asked. There are actually two ways that I would really love to encourage you. One is, would you pray for us? Like, this is an ocean of an opportunity, especially with the pandemic and the mental health issues that the students are faced with. This really is an ocean of opportunity. And we just pray that, you know, that God would lead us to these schools, that he would open up to the hearts of these students that we're interacting with. So pray for us, pray for those students. And then the second way is, would you consider joining that financial team that enables us to do what we do? And I'm really excited because you have the opportunity this morning to partner with us financially and prayerfully if you would so choose. And so we actually have some cards here that are going to be passed out. We have a short video that's going to play. We have a goal. Our goal here is to reach 200 new partners giving $20 a month. And so I would just ask you, would you consider giving $20 a month by being a part of this team that takes the gospel to students all across the United States? So what we're going to do is these cards are going to be passed out here. We have a short video that's going to play as those cards are being passed out. I'll come up, just briefly share about that card, and then we'll close. Okay? So let's roll that video, please. All right. So we'll just quickly draw your attention to the gray card that was passed out. There's actually two cards there. There's a black business card on the top there. That's my personal information. So you can go ahead and pull that off, and you can keep that. So if you ever need to go hold me for any reason, you're welcome to do that. And then looking at the gray card, there's a couple of options on here. One, you can sign up for a newsletter that gets emailed out once a month, one from me, one from the ministry in general. And so if you want to pray for us, kind of keep in the loop, sign up for that. So check that box, fill out your name, your email address, and then I have a table in the back foyer lobby area. You can just drop that card off there. If you also then want to join the financial support team, be part one of those 200 partners, you can do that as well. Simply check the box, and then also you can see on here there's different partnership levels. So there's a $20, double at 40, triple at 60, and you know, if you're here and you're just not sure what level you want to give and you really want to and you're looking for some advice, I would say go for the triple. So that's just my advice. So you're welcome. So go ahead and finish clearly writing all of the information out there. And then how we do it at Stanford Truth, make it as secure and efficient as possible, and to keep us from opening up mail at home and on the road, attach a voided check to this and then bring all of that back to the table. And then your donation will be transferred on the 20th of every month. If you never ever need to change or cancel that donation, you are certainly welcome to on your end, or simply get a hold of us. We'll be glad to do that for you. If you are like me and you don't carry your checkbook to church every Sunday, we have envelopes here. So what will happen is you go ahead and fill out your card, return the card. We'll give you an envelope that's addressed and ready to go, and you just simply have to drop a voided check in there, and then we'll receive that then. We are able to receive one-time checks, so if you can't or not really able to do the monthly partnership, we understand that. We're certainly glad to receive that at the table as well. Our bills come monthly, so we try to really encourage the monthly support. With that also, I do have copies of my book at the table as well, so they're not really for sale, but any donation or something, we just give a copy of this as a simple thank you for that. I know I just shared a lot with you, but we do, like as I mentioned, have a table at the back. I'd love to interact with you and hear from you. However you fill out your card, come back and say hi. The last thing I would say is that your giving to this ministry would be not in replace of your giving here at your local church. This would be something above and beyond your giving here, your offering here. With that, church, it's been an absolute pleasure of mine to be with you this morning. I hope you've been encouraged as we trust God every day. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.